Happy week 14 of the fantasy football playoffs. No, I am not Ben Conroy. I am Carlos Saisu alongside Michael Bailey, co-hosting week 14 of the LA Fantasy Freaks. Ben outside playing golf this week, and Nick Liverani studying hard for finals again. So again, week 14, LA Fantasy Freaks, hope you are in the playoffs. Bailey, let's start off with you. Playoffs? Yes? No? Feeling good?
I'm so excited. It was like Christmas morning yesterday. It was early. I got to wake up and realize I was in the playoffs in all four of my ESPN leagues and two out of my four Yahoo leagues. I hope that gives you guys some sense of credit for myself. What about you, my man?
It was a bit bittersweet. A majority of my leagues, I wish I could say the same for you, Bailey, but I'm going to go for the Consolation Championship. Woo!
There you go.
So in case you want to follow my like credibility of consolation, feel free to follow me. But in my most important league, in our league that we're playing in, Bailey, I am in the playoffs and feeling really confident now.
Good.
So I am feeling really, really good. Again, this is the LA Fantasy Freaks. You can follow us on Twitter at LA Fantasy Freaks. On Facebook, like us at LA Fantasy Freaks. You can also be heard on smackchat.com and Team 1010 KXPS. Of course, you can listen to our podcast on iTunes. But let's start out like every week, Bailey. Let's chat about our Super Freak of the Week.
Andrew Luck with 24 of 54. It's quite a few of differential, but he did throw for 391 yards and four TDs. That alone makes him the best for last week. He was our Super Freak of the Week. He did have three interceptions and two sacks, and he did carry the ball three times for 33 yards, and that's what made him the best this last week.
When it comes to Andrew Luck, I mean, for me, watching that game, it was outside of these numbers. It was such an heroic comeback on a season that the Colts have overcame. Chuck Pagano facing leukemia. You have a rookie quarterback. This team looked like it had no identity at the beginning of the season.
No, brand new coaching staff.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. It was just so out there. And that was great. I mean, they willed that game. And it was on Andrew Luck's shoulders. And he is a gunslinger. He is a cowboy ready to go out there.
He has certainly fulfilled expectations coming out of Stanford. So our Super Freak of the Week, one more time, Andrew Luck. Oh, hopefully you have him going into the playoffs, because I'd feel really confident. On the other end of things, I wouldn't feel confident with this guy. Our What the Freak of the Week.
Eric Decker, he had two receptions on two targets for only 17 yards. That's terrible. That's the last thing you want your receiver to do in fantasy when his quarterback is Peyton Manning. And to top that off, in the last three out of the four games, he hasn't even gone over 25 yards. It's terrible.
It's been a struggle. I mean, you mentioned three out of the last four games. In week nine, Decker had eight catches and two touchdowns alone. That's in week nine. Week 10 through 13, the last month, 10 catches and only one touchdown.
That did not push anyone in to the playoffs with those stats.
And if those numbers didn't discourage you about Decker, the number that you mentioned earlier, two targets. Did you ever imagine that Peyton Manning would only throw the ball to Eric Decker twice in a game?
No, I'm baffled. I wish I had somewhat of a reasonable answer to give our listeners or to myself, but there's nothing. Two targets. I really don't know what to say about that. We can only hope it improves.
Well, for me as a Demaryius Thomas owner, I don't mind, actually. I do not mind. But yes, for Decker owners, you really hope that this turns around. And I think it can't get any worse than two targets in a game.
No, it can't. It's terrible.
Yeah. So let's go right to Eric Decker and the Denver Broncos. The Thursday night game against the Oakland Raiders. Darren McFadden is coming back for the Raiders. Do you think that makes much of an impact on the field?
I don't. Maybe a few points, but not going up against that Denver D. And I don't even care if it's at home, if it's at Oakland. He's going up against a tough, tough defense that has really just been killing it on the reality and the fantasy level.
Looking at these two teams, you have the Broncos and the Raiders, opposite ends of the spectrum, where the Raiders, as usual, struggling just to make 500. The Broncos, because of the leadership of Peyton Manning, they are in good hands. They've already secured a playoff spot. I think this game is going to be decided early. So the Raiders, I think, are going to go away from this run game.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. They like throwing the ball to Marcel Reese out, and he's been the more consistent running back in the backfield for Oakland. I could see it definitely getting out of hand pretty quickly. And, you know, in general, I don't even know how much of a, in reality, how much of a game that's entertaining this is going to be, unless it's for fantasy purposes.
And again, like you said, Marcel Reese, he would be my go-to running back for the Raiders backfield, because he's actually getting thrown the ball. And yeah. In PPR leagues, he is so huge. Valuable, especially in the past month. Darren McFadden not going to get his carries. Again, Decker can't get any worse than two targets, so expect I'd be optimistic for him for this game, especially against a poor Raiders defense. But Demaryius Thomas owners, no reason to hesitate.
No.
Thank you. Thank you very much, D-Tom. Four touchdowns in the last 3 weeks.
Oh,
so
nice.
Do you think it's going to be another dominating week for Demaryius?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, he comes out real strong. He looks like a more confident player over the past few weeks.
And Oakland has given up the seventh most fantasy points to wide receivers, second most to quarterbacks. So Peyton Manning, don't be surprised why he is on top of a lot of quarterback lists for week 14.
And we were quickly talking about this before we set up that Carlo is going against Peyton Manning. So it could be a blowout by the third quarter, and the fourth quarter could be meaningless, really. So, you know, you're hoping for your points early, or, you know, you can trying to get whatever you can from Peyton. That's what I'm trying to say.
This goes out to John Fox and the Broncos staff. Don't hesitate to sit Peyton Manning if you need to, especially in the fourth quarter. You got your playoff seed already. Raiders, they can play dirty. I mean,
exactly.
It's Oakland. I mean,
and
they play rough.
Do they clinch the division or just a playoff spot?
I think a playoff spot. Division. Division.
They did clinch
correct.
The division.
Yes.
All right, so there
so
you go.
Even
that's,
more reasons.
That's more reason
of
not
to playing.
Slow it down. Slow it down. But I do expect Peyton and his boys to come out hot. And on the other side, Oakland, really, Marcel Reese. It's probably your best bet on fantasy-wise. Carson Palmer to Demaryius Moore might help you, but, you know, this Denver D is really strong.
Carson against Denver, as the last word on this game, 202 yards in week four. He's had an interception in all games but two. Denver defense, be happy, be optimistic, and have them starting for you for sure if you can. All right, off to the Sunday game, Dallas-Cincinnati.
All right, Dallas at Cincinnati. Great fantasy matchup, you know, on many different levels. You know, Dallas has that limited run attack, and Cincinnati's pretty good on the defense against the pass and the receivings. So I'm really curious to see how Romo's going to do this week.
Romo's coming off two big games, 441 yards and 303 yards respectively, both with three touchdowns and no interceptions. So Tony Romo, owners, this is your time. I feel confident. But Cincinnati is a much better defense than what Philadelphia came up to serve.
Gosh.
So,
Dallas has been doing so well. You know, we all know what Romo does in November. He continued to do that, he's probably continued to do that into December. But it's gonna be rough. Cincinnati leads the league in sacks, and they're sixth fewest against QBs in fantasy points, and fourth fewest to wide receivers. So it will be a challenge. However, Cincinnati gives up the eighth most points to tight ends. So Jason Witten could be looking to have a field day.
Miles Austin owners still worry because of the hamstring problems, which is even more surprising of how well Romo is playing without Miles Austin. Dez Bryant has been the target.
I was going to bring him up. He's been having huge games. I don't know his specific stats. He's not on any of my teams, but I know he has been a threat.
So, of course, you're starting Dez Bryant because of the looks that he's going to get. But again, I wouldn't be all for the Dallas offense because, as you mentioned, the Cincinnati defense playing really well. One touchdown, four interceptions in the last 4 weeks, and this is against quarterbacks, not the most elite quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers, Carson Palmer, the combo of Brady Quinn and Matt Castle, and Eli Manning before the bye week. This is going to be a different Eli Manning.
It is.
But I think Tony Romo actually still fits in that mix of kind of shaky quarterbacks. A little top upper tier, but shaky.
The one thing that could go in Dallas's favor is Cincinnati has won four games in a row, I believe, and you know, we all know that they're not the strongest team in the league, so they could falter this week. Cincinnati should do a good job against that. But if you know, if Romo's got you there and Dez Bryant's got you there, you got to go with them as well. Now back onto the running back side, will Ben Jarvis Greenhills keep Romo off the field? I think that's going to be a big factor.
I think in order for the defense to work out for Cincinnati. I think they're going to have to keep Romo on the field. So they're going to give Ben Jarvis a few touches. Yeah. I mean, the law firm, he's not fulfilled really expectations for Ben Jarvis owners this season. But still, I actually will side with the Cincinnati passing game more. I don't think he's going to get that many touches, even though I think he should.
He might. And you know what? He had 25 carries for 118 yards last week. And he has done a little bit better, but you're right. He has been kind of disappointing throughout the season. Actually, the last 3 weeks, he's done very well. But we'll see. Dallas isn't, you know, they're no slouch. But I think they do have to give him quite a few touches to keep Romo on that explosive offense off the field. DeMarco Murray's back, you know, so we'll see about that. Now, will the rush D of Dallas hold them? Do you think, you know, Gresham and A.J. Green will, you know, be kept with low numbers, Carlo?
This is why I think Cincinnati's going to side more with their passing game. It's because their Dallas DBs have allowed 11 touchdowns in the last four games. That's an average of almost three touchdowns.
That is.
That's just on the passing end. And you got one of the most dangerous combos between Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, and now a rising tight end in the late of the fantasy season in Jermaine Gresham.
Yes, he's been playing very well.
This is green light for Dalton, A.J. Green. Oh, no pun intended, green light for A.J. Green owners and Jermaine Gresham owners.
But I do agree with you. Now that we just went over those, I would say that the passing game could be the stronger suit, but you still, you know, as a fantasy user for Green Ellis, you're still hoping they give him at least, you know, 20 touches and he gets at least sneaks in the end zone. But you're right. The passing game could be the stronger part of that game.
I say he gets, I still say Ben Jarvis gets a touchdown.
I would say so, you know.
At least a touchdown.
Yeah. Either way, yes. I agree with you.
Okay, on to Atlanta at Carolina. Very nice divisional matchup. Matt Ryan, he's been struggling of late. He got the win against New Orleans last week. It wasn't pretty, obviously.
No.
Could have easily been a blowout because the Atlanta defense forced five interceptions from Drew Brees, but still it was a close enough game because Matt Ryan wasn't on his A game. Now he's facing a Carolina defense that has allowed the 10th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Bailey, what's wrong with Matt Ryan?
Yo, I don't know. You would expect a lot better last week against a terrible, terrible New Orleans defense.
Exactly.
Giving up so much. So I'm actually very worried about him. I have him in one of our leagues, too. So I'm, but you got to have confidence with Matt Ryan. He's top five quarterback going in. You got to do it. But, and I don't know why Carolina's that good. You know, those are surprising
exactly.
stats to me.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see. And I believe they'll come through. You know, it's one of those things. Where sometimes the best player will miss a layup. Sorry to use a basketball reference. Will miss a layup, but, you know, make the fadeaway jumper over the taller guy. You know, it's ridiculous. So I expect Matt Ryan to bounce back. They're a very confident team, and we'll see how, you know, it's on to the next thing. We'll see how Roddy and Julio and Tony do.
Yeah, before we go to those, Matt Ryan, again, in terms of his struggles, two touchdowns, six interceptions in the last 3 weeks. But, I mean, as an optimistic point, against Carolina in week four, he had three touchdowns. So if I were to bet, I would say Matt Ryan might finally get back to rhythm in this Carolina game with the weapons you mentioned, Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Tony G. Gonzalez. Of the three, who do you side with the most?
I would go with Julio. I'll stick with Julio. I just don't really see, you know, a DB really sticking to him. There's so many weapons. You know, you could go with any one of them, really. I mean, that's a loaded question.
Again, but the Roddy White owners... It's been tough recently. One catch for only 20 yards last week, and Roddy hasn't made a trip to the end zone for the last six games. So Julio Jones owners and Tony Gonzalez owners, it's been looking better for them.
Definitely. And Carolina gives up the 12th most to tight ends, which we don't really want to look outside of top 10 numbers because it's really just mediocre. But you're right. Tony could have a field day, especially with, I mean, those receivers, you have to cover everyone. So, you know, stuff in the middle could be open.
In terms of the running backs, Michael Turner over Jacquizz Rodgers?
I would say so. I don't know. I don't know how well it matches up against Newton, but I know they're still giving it to Turner. You know,
yeah.
They still have to.
I mean, as much as people have been saying they've been down on Turner because of his age, he's been getting a touchdown in the last 3 weeks, so he is their goal line back.
He is, definitely. And this is an outside game. You know, it's not in the dome, so Jacquizz Rodgers, you know, might see a little less carries.
Cam Newton picking it up finally. It's been a test of patience for Cam owners, and
two
now he's
weeks,
picking
yeah.
up his game. Yeah, I mean, he was our fantasy freak of the week co-fantasy freak of the week last week. And what do you think is going to happen with him?
You know, I think he'll continue. As much as I don't really want him to, I think he will continue to produce. I don't know. There's something weird about him, but you know, you can't deny his athletic ability, and you can't deny that the ball's going through Cam's hands in that offense. There's no way around it.
He's going to get yardage, at least. Mm-hmm. He's going to get yardage. I'm not sure if he's going to get the same touchdown production he's been getting the last few weeks, but he's going to get yardage. And I'm confident for Cam Newton owners because he got matchups against San Diego, the Raiders, and New Orleans in the next 3 weeks. So going into the playoffs, he's the guy you want to have.
Yeah, definitely. And I, you know what, I'm going to throw it out there that I think it still just comes down to confidence. Atlanta knows they're a better team than Carolina. Atlanta was easily could have lost to the Saints, and that would have really messed them up, but it was probably in their heads. So, yeah, I think confidence overall, and going with the defense too, not just offensively. So what I'm saying is that Atlanta's D knows they are better than Carolina's offense, and they really just have to control Cam. But we'll see. I still think Cam will produce. You said yardage. If he can get any type of run game, 50 yards, that would be a huge bonus.
Now we got the battle of the news, New Orleans and New York. I mean, we just talked about Drew Brees and the Saints. Let's make a guarantee here, Bailey. We make few guarantees. Let's make one right here. Drew Brees will not throw 5 interceptions again.
All right, I'll go with you on that okay. one. All right, I'm on the wagon. I could see him throwing one or two. I'm really curious to see how much confidence him and his boys have going into this game. They're pretty much on the outside outer ring of making the playoffs. They have any motivation going in, Carlo, you think?
It's tough. I mean, New Orleans is a city that runs on a lot of emotion.
It does.
And this is the first time in a while where it kind of feels like the ball's been totally deflated. Maybe the first time since Hurricane Katrina, I'd say.
I would say so, yeah.
And so facing the defending champs still, the New York Giants, I think this takes more air out of the arena.
It is. And the Giants have something to play for. You know, we're kind of going away fantasy from right here, but, you know, emotion and confidence has a lot to do with production on the field. I think the Giants will win. So what I'm trying to say is Eli and his boys will produce. I don't know exactly who, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Remember, this is still the Saints passing defense.
True.
The terrible Saints passing defense. I don't want to even put a D in there.
I know, you're right. Defense.
I mean, so Eli Manning, especially after the production he had of lately, especially after his bye week, he's going to produce. And Victor Cruz, of course, Martellus Bennett. Running game. I'm questioning the running game, though. Do you think Ahmad Bradshaw is going to produce?
Yeah, I think the whole team's going to produce. Maybe not, you know, it might be Victor Cruz over Hakeem Nicks, but I think they're going to give Bradshaw a lot of carries. Why not? Wear down the D early, set up the play action pass. You know, like we said, the New Orleans defense is terrible.
And again, it's not just a passing defense against Eli Manning. Second most allowed points to running backs. So
they play better than they do, because I mean, they just held Matt Ryan to 10 points, right? And held Roddy White to one catch.
You know, I might actually say that's more Atlanta
than the New Orleans defense.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's a very emotional division game. You know, but it could have been. I don't know why. I don't know what Atlanta was doing last week, but they sure made, or at least Matt Ryan made New Orleans defense look a little better. But no, I think Bradshaw will produce, and I think at least Victor Cruz or Hakeem Nicks will get some good play action passes out of that.
Speaking about passes, I think this next game that we're going to be talking about is going to be decided in the air. Detroit versus Green Bay. Huge rivalry matchup. Aaron Rodgers versus Matt Stafford. Let's get to it first.
Ooh, I don't even know who to choose on that one. That one's going to be great. I'll probably have to go with Rodgers just because he has more weapons. Stafford's been losing his receivers. And, you know, he has been building that momentum up with Calvin Johnson. They've actually been throwing touchdowns to each other. But I'll still stick with Rodgers. I think he'll do better. You know, the Detroit defense isn't as good as the Green Bay defense either.
You mentioned Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson finally picking it up from last year. It's been a test of patience for me as a Matt Stafford owner, and looking for Matt Stafford in every first round of my drafts. So it's good to see Matt Stafford finally picking it up. 2 touchdowns in the last 2 games. Aaron Rodgers has been on a roll as well, but now he doesn't have Jordy Nelson. Nelson hurt, But he has Greg Jennings back.
Exactly. That's going to help out a lot. And Jennings had 8 targets, the most on the team last week. Now, that probably had a lot to do with Nelson going down on their second series, but it doesn't matter. That means he's strong. That means he's willing to get those targets. He's ready to go out there and produce. And I think he'll do a great job. And the Lions give up the 9th most fantasy points to receivers, so that should help. But what about the other receivers? What do you think, Carlo? Cobb and Jones?
In the order, I was about to go to you for that. With Nelson out, it actually keeps James Jones alive, which is awesome for James Jones owners. I'd go, based off the 8 targets that Greg Jennings got, it still seems that Aaron Rodgers doesn't hesitate about going to Greg Jennings despite his injury and how many games he's missed.
That's a good point.
They're still on the same page. Yeah. So I would go in that order. Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, even though Randall Cobb has been an MVP for many fantasy players this season, and then James Jones.
I agree, because I think they'll put the bigger Jennings and Jones on the outside and keep Cobb in the slot, which was what they have been doing. But I would agree in that order. I like that order.
For the Lions, aside from Megatron and aside from Matt Stafford, you like Mikel LeShore
in
the backfield?
He keeps producing. I like him. And the most important thing is they're giving him goal line touches. In my opinion, that's huge.
Again, another name that I mentioned last week late, Jacques Bell. You might want to handcuff him on your bench if you can afford a spot, especially in the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs. Good point, Carlo.
On to the Monday Nighter.
Oh, here we go. We got Houston at New England. Huge, huge game. These are actually, we've had 3 huge fantasy productive, or maybe even 4 huge fantasy producing games so far, but this one probably could be the biggest. We got run and passing games right here, with tight ends included.
And this results into the 2 highest scoring offenses in the league. The Patriots 1 and the Texans 2. So this is going to be a very nice, entertaining production game on Monday.
It is. We all know Gronkowski's out. Edelman's now out. Who benefits from this? Welker, Lloyd, Hernandez. Will we even see Dante Stallworth? Or are the running backs going to get any looks out of the backfield?
Yeah, I like Ridley. I've always liked Ridley, but Welker's always going to get his numbers.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about Brandon Lloyd. Hernandez, he's still trying to get back into Aaron Hernandez numbers from last year. But Brandon Lloyd, I think, will be the target that benefits the most from the loss of Edelman.
Like Roddy White and like Eric Decker, Lloyd had a garbage game last week. So, yes, he wants to bounce back. And they'll rise to the occasion, New England. They know this is a tough defense. And Brady, you know, as usual, I think a lot of people underestimate Brady. He will divvy up this ball the best he sees fits. I think I said that right. And then Aaron Hernandez was actually on the NFL Network today, and he sounded pretty confident. He got me confident about him. But you're right. We don't know fully. The Patriots are always so quiet about their injuries, so we don't know if he's 100% yet. But you're right. He's going to be throwing the ball around. I expect Lloyd and Hernandez to get a little more licks, like you said, along with Welker getting the majority of them.
I mean, we know how good the Houston pass defense can be, but they've been struggling of late. And Tom Brady, struggling isn't the right word to describe him. He's thrown for 10 touchdowns in the last month with only 1 interception. I mean, Tom Brady is going to dominate, I think, this Houston pass defense. Houston loves relying on their 5-man pass rush. They run it the most in the league. And Brady against the 5-man pass rush, thanks to the statisticians in the NFL, 15 touchdowns and no interceptions. None.
That's amazing. Like I said, underappreciated. They have been struggling, the Houston defense. They did have a great game last week, but that was against a bad Tennessee team. So don't, you know, fantasy owners, you don't want to rush into that and think it's going to be the same thing with
ignore
the Patriots.
It.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Ignore
it. Thank you. That's a better way of putting it. Ignore it.
And on the other side of the field, another bad defense, the Patriots. These are 2 great offenses. Lately, bad defenses. Patriots against the quarterbacks, they've allowed 300-plus yards in 3 of the last 4 weeks. And it was against Mark Sanchez, big surprise, Andrew Luck, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're 29th in the pass defense this season. So, Matt Schaub owners, I'm feeling good about this one.
I would, too. Matt Schaub really doesn't make mistakes. The key is Foster. What do you think? You think he's going to do pretty good?
It's a little question mark. I think Arian Foster might not be used to playing this late in the season. And I think this is, we saw it last year. Arian Foster kind of settles down. This is Ben Tate time, basically, because the Texans kind of already take care of the division. They did clinch a playoff spot, but the Patriots' rush defense hasn't been that bad. I think they're actually in the top 10 of the league, and Arian Foster is coming off a season-low 38 yards.
And,
low production.
And Ben Tate is actually healthy, which obviously makes a huge difference.
He hasn't produced this season, though.
No, not at all, but he's healthy now, and you're right. What they do is they start off with Foster, mix in a little Ben Tate, and let Ben Tate come in and finish in that fourth quarter. But we don't know what kind of game it's going to be like. What if they need him in there? What if the Patriots are up 7 or 14 in going into that third or fourth quarter? I mean, or even 10 points. You don't know, you know. I would say that Foster should have a good day, and I do trust Schaub and all them. The one thing that the Patriots do pretty well is commit turnovers. So that could be one of the things. And Bill loves to disguise the defense. And I would say, obviously, Foster is worried about Vince Wilfork, who could be defensive player of the year this year, but he doesn't really have the stats to be flashy.
We'll see what happens in that huge Monday night matchup. But let's talk about injuries. We already mentioned Jordy Nelson.
Very important.
A huge list of injuries going into playoff week. So please listen up. Jordy Nelson injured. The same hamstring. I mean, the Packers were actually trying to cover that up, but it is the same hamstring. Mike McCarthy already saying that it's not looking good for him to play against Detroit. We mentioned, look for Greg Jennings, look for Randall Cobb, look for James Jones. No for Jordy Nelson. Run DMC. He's going to be running this week for the first time in a long time, but still, don't look for him. We mentioned it in the first game, being the Thursday night game. The Raiders don't expect them to be running the ball so much. They're going to play from behind against the Broncos, look for the ball in the air. If anything on the ground, it's going to be to Marcel Reese. LeSean McCoy, he's still suffering his concussion, still hasn't passed the concussion test. And with how good Bryce Brown has been playing, another huge game this week, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays.
Yeah, I would agree.
Breaking news on Percy Harvin. No, with breaking... It's not broken, actually. It's only a sprain. It's an ankle sprain, but he is going to the IR.
Actually, what happened was he tore some ligaments. They couldn't find it right away, but that's it. And you're right. He went to the IR, which definitely hurts quite a few people because he was quite a good producer in the beginning of the year.
So not breaking news, but tearing news.
Tearing
now
news.
We have Danny Amendola. He actually, it might look like he's going to be playing. He's coming off a heel injury. It's questionable. Didn't practice Wednesday, but he will most likely be playing. Cecil Shorts suffering concussion again. He passed his concussion test, but he's still showing symptoms, which is kind of weird, questionable. But I think he'll be there on the field. He won't be as effective. He might not be thinking as right, but he won't be playing. Again, Julian Edelman, broken foot, reportedly season-ending surgery, so not good for that. One season-ending play happened to Ryan Broyles, a torn right ACL. Very sad after he tore his left ACL in 2011. He's out for the season. Look for Mike Thomas to fill in. Big Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of eyes on him. I would say the most optimism on this injury report would go to Big Ben. What do you think about Big Ben?
I think so because I know he had half the snaps at quarterback on every single practice situation they had. So I would say it's optimistic. And we all know Big Ben. He played, I think, with a broken ankle. He's just a beast. He was not meant to play in this century. He was meant to play in a different century.
He was actually reportedly cleared to play last week against the Ravens.
But he was cleared. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was. And the Steelers just wanted to give a little bit more time.
That's
to
That's good. You don't
want to
rush him. And it was such a big win for them that any point going forward is momentum and a positiveness if they can get Ben back.
And I think that's why the Steelers are back in the Super Bowl talk.
And that's what
seeing
they do.
That heroic performance by Charlie Batch.
Exactly. They get motivated off a performance like that, and that's what they'll do. They'll fight off the Bengals, and they'll fight off anyone else who's going to steal them for that sixth seed. And heck, they could even win the division if the Ravens can't pull themselves together.
Sorry to end the injury report on bad news, but beware IDP players and even Chicago defense owners. Brian Urlacher, he will be out for week 14, but he could miss also the rest of the regular season with a hamstring
strain. I was told 3 games he's going to miss, so doesn't look good.
So with that, we go to our favorite segments to close this week off. Let's start out with Bailey's Benchem.
All right, my Benchem this week is Ryan Matthews. This may not come in as the biggest surprise for this week, but Ryan Matthews had a terrible game last week. Had a little bit of a talk with Norv Turner on the sideline during the game. Norv told him to just run the ball. And what they were saying was that his lack of vision is disrupting his production. And who is he going against? They're at Pittsburgh, the San Diego Chargers. This is going to be rough. Pittsburgh is, believe, number one in rushing. I don't know about yards, but overall, they're number one. They just came off a big win against Baltimore. I doubt Ryan Matthews will get too many points. What you're hoping for is maybe a few points out of the backfield, catching some balls in the PPR league. You know, deeper leagues, you may want to start him. But in general, I do not trust Ryan Matthews this week.
Bailey, you're making it sound just to bench the whole San Diego Chargers
team. I would not be against that. You know, to be eccentric, I'm okay with that.
I might have a replacement for you, though. Well, let's first go to my Sisu sleeper.
Sisu sleepers, everybody.
This is going to be a little different. I mean, this is late in the season, so I'm going to give you a few names to look. With so many injuries in the wide receiver position, look at the golden hands of Golden Tate. Russell Wilson's now go-to target in the end zone. He's been averaging a touchdown in the last 4 games, double-digit fantasy points in 3 of the last 4 weeks. He's your boy, Bailey, the Seattle Seahawks star.
I'm excited. We got him in round 2. Carroll was saying how he was a round 1 talent. Didn't really show it in the first year. This year, definitely more excited.
Another target to look at, T.Y. Hilton. Thank you for T.Y. on my fantasy team against Tennessee this week, though, allowing the 6th most points to wide receivers. He's the go-to guy for the red-hot Andrew Luck. He's been averaging 5 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. Chris Givens, I just picked him up in my most valuable league. I'm happy about that. He's already projected to get 20 points against the very poor last place Buffalo defense, or not last place, but a very low Buffalo defense that has allowed 8th most against wide receivers. And for you, Bailey, because you're benching Ryan Matthews, maybe keep an eye on Montel Owens. Who is he? He's not the host of that daytime TV show. Let me just get that straight. He doesn't sing This Is How We Do It. This is the guy who's actually coming off the practice squad to be the 4th starting Jaguars running back this season, thanks to the injuries to MJD, Rashad Jennings, and Parmalee.
And just a side note, to confirm what Carlos is saying, because I think it is a great choice, he's going up against the Jets defense, which is 10th most against running backs. So, in all honesty, I wouldn't be disappointed, especially if you're the type of team that snuck in with really crappy running backs. You know, you're a strong at receiver and quarterback, but you have terrible running backs. Throw him in. Give him a chance. I think it'll do good. We all know what the Jets are about anyways.
Especially, it's tough to right now find a starting running back. So, Owens, keep an eye for him. No Nick's pick, but actually, we kind of made a Nick pick for himself. Bailey?
I went with Greg Jennings. Like we already stated, Detroit allows the 9th most points to wide receivers. Carlo, what's your next pick?
No questions asked for this one. Peyton Manning, Oakland, 338 touchdowns and 338 yards. Almost made it seem like 338 touchdowns in week 4, which is only one of 7 3-touchdown performances this season. And with that, let's wrap up week 14 of the LA Fantasy Freaks. You can follow us on Twitter at LA Fantasy Freaks. Like us on Facebook, LA Fantasy Freaks, smackchat.com, Team 1010 KXPS. Thank you very much. And don't forget, you can download this podcast on iTunes.
It's a great way to listen to it. I'm dead serious, folks. It's perfect. It sets it up real nice. It's real clean. And you hear it loud and clear.
Good luck in the playoffs or even the consolation bracket. There's no excuse to not winning, even the consolation championship. So, our fantasy freaks, good luck.
Good luck.